and write down one idea that comes to you.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it.
God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again.
For God did not send his son into the world to be its judge, but to be its savior.
For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him.
For God did not send the son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, or to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him.
If you're like me, from time to time, you need a boost. You could use a little encouragement. Remember that it is in believing that Jesus is the Savior that guarantees you a right standing before God. Listen to verse 18, thinking of a particular phrase that God is giving you as a gift this morning.
No one who has faith in God's Son will be condemned, but everyone who doesn't have faith in him has already been condemned for not having faith in God's only Son.
There is no judgment awaiting those who trust him, but those who do not trust him have already been judged for not believing in the only Son of God.
Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him.
Whoever believes in the Son is not judged. Whoever does not believe has already been judged, because he has not believed in God's only Son.
He who believes in him is not judged. Who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God.
He who believes in him, who clings to, who trusts in, who relies on him, is not judged. In other words, he who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him, there is no rejection. There is no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, who does not cleave to, does not rely on or trust in him, is already judged. He's already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name.
What does it mean for you personally to walk in the light of Jesus Christ? Are you walking in any shadow land spiritually? What obstacles are you tripping over right now? Listen for a single word from verse 19 that stands out to you.
The light has come into the world, and people who do evil things are judged guilty because they love the dark more than the light.
Their judgment is based on this fact. The light from heaven came into the world, but they loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil.
This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God.
This is how the judgment works. The light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, because they do evil things.
And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil.
The basis of the judgment, the indictment, the basis for the test by which men are judged, the grounds for the sentence, lies in this. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than the light, for their works, their deeds, were evil.
What do you have yet to confess this morning? The Lord is here for you, so willing to listen to your heart, so willing to accept you. Meditate on God's great love for you in giving Jesus Christ so that you could have eternal life as you read and listen to verse 20.
People who do evil hate the light and won't come to the light because it clearly shows what they have done.
They hate the light because they want to sin in the darkness. They stay away from the light or fear their sins will be exposed and they will be punished.
Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God's light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure.
And anyone who does evil things hates the light and will not come to the light because he does not want his evil deeds to be shown up.
For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed.
For every wrongdoer hates, loathes, detests the light, and will not come out into the light, but shrinks from it, lest his works, his deeds, his activities, his conduct be exposed and reproved.
Invite you to ponder another time how God may use you, how he may use you as a member of this congregation and this church together to draw people to himself, to draw people within the influence of Jesus Christ, that they may move from darkness into the light.
But everyone who lives by the truth will come to the light, because they want others to know that God is really the one doing what they do.
But those who do what is right come to the light gladly, so everyone can see that they are doing what God wants.
But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God's light, so the work can be seen for the God work it is.
But whoever does what is true comes to the light, in order that the light may show that he did his works in obedience to God.
But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God.
But he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, that is, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him.
I'm going to read what you've just heard all at one time from the Phillips translation. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him should not be lost, but should have eternal life. You must understand that God has not sent his Son into the world to pass sentence upon it, but to save it through him. Any man who believes in him is not judged at all. It is the one who will not believe who stands already condemned, because he will not believe in the character of God's only Son. This is the judgment, that light has entered the world, and men have preferred darkness to light because their deeds are evil. Anybody who does wrong hates the light and keeps away from it for fear that his deeds may be exposed. But anybody who is living by the truth will come to the light to make it plain that all he has done has been done through God. So the question, if you've never put your trust entirely in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, please consider responding to the Holy Spirit's prompting now. You need to be born again. You need a new shot at life, this time with God in control. You need more than just a few changes, a tweak here or a tweak there. In fact, you need more than a total overhaul. It's not what we're talking about. You need a spiritual life that can come only from God. God is present with us. And I'm convinced that God is in the business of turning our disappointments into blessings, our rejections into acceptance, our pressures into peace, our hurts into healing. For the unpredictable God has loved so much, has loved you so much, that he gave his only Son. He gave you his only Son, so that in him, in your trust in him, you would not perish but have eternal life. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, as we have heard from your word, beginning with this conversation from Nicodemus and what Jesus had to say, we are awestruck. You have said that the Spirit moves and the wind blows where it will, and we don't know. We don't know. We can't know how you work, Lord. We only know that you do. Thank you. Your Spirit is hovering in this place today. Your Spirit is with those that are walking through the neighborhood to the north. Your Spirit has gone on before them and is now touching the hearts of people who have been afraid of the light. Lord, we pray that this may be the day that they will yield themselves to you, that any here would yield to you as well. And Lord, we pray that you would demonstrate your power in an incredible way. For while you sacrificed yourself for us, you rose again from the dead. And you have ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. And there you will judge. But all who believe will not be condemned. Thank you, Lord, for that assurance today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand as we sing our three closing songs?